Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
There it is. Rami Lavie out. Fleegs in. Keith McPherson rocking till one, and then C-Mac will come through. 50 Cent's Many Men playing in the background. A little bit of the WFAN music as well. And as I heard the Many Men beat, I just kept thinking, they hate us because they ain't us, right? There's a lot of talk online. There's a lot of talk on these shows, as you heard two nights ago now. It's Friday. As you heard two nights ago with TNT, all you New Yorkers think you're the best thing since sliced bread. Yeah, the best thing since jeans with pockets. It's not that we think we're the best thing. That we just understand where we are, what we are, who we are. Come through, right? All y'all come here and think it's a movie. All y'all come here and stare up at the buildings. All y'all come here and get lost. Don't know which way is uptown, which way is downtown. Doing goofy stuff. Trying to flag down cabs. Get an Uber. We just understand this is the Mecca, the Empire. New York, New York. And for a long time, it feels like there's been a drought. For a long time, it feels like we haven't had our sports teams resemble the pride and the grit and the hustle that New Yorkers have, right? We understand, if I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. This is not Indiana, Indianapolis. This is not Raleigh, North Carolina. This is where everybody wants to be. This is where everybody wants to visit. This is where everything is, every type of business, every type of food. We've got a bunch of sports teams, and it just feels good to have our teams be on top. 877-337-6666. So this last hour, I'll open it up, open mic, whatever you guys want to talk about regarding New York sports, and we'll get back to the Knicks conversation because, yeah, man, we're going to find out. The Knicks are up 2-0, right? The Rangers handle business, go up 3-0. Still taking calls on the Rangers. Had a good hour and a half on the Rangers. But here we are, Friday, May 10th, 7 p.m. Place your bets. The Knicks won't have OG Anunoby. But what we know is that these Knicks don't care. They will have Jalen Brunson. He will be banged up. But he's going to play because he's the heartbeat. He's the soul of the team. He's the chief. He's the leader of the squad. And looking at this game, I think Indiana, they're still crying. Obviously, you guys heard about Rick Carlisle and the 78. Like, come on, bro. And I get it. I understand what they're trying to do, right, with the two-minute report. And it's a series. They're trying to get the refs to be in their favor. But, like, the Pacers are seven-point favorites at home. The over-under has shot up now, right? The over-under is not around 200. It's 223. So we've got an interesting game here. The Hicks versus the Knicks. And those weird Indiana fans that are going to pull up to Bankers Life Fieldhouse to root on Tyrese Halliburton or whatever, bro. Whatever. The Knicks don't care. They don't care. Somebody will rise. Maybe we'll see some people get off the bench. I don't know, though. Like I said, a couple nights ago, I was like, if Jericho Sims plays for 5 minutes because Mitchell Robinson's down, whatever. It's not like Mitchell Robinson is scoring a bunch of points. It's not like he's leaving the biggest shoes to fill. Jericho Sims didn't get on the court. Alec Burks got on the court for 44 seconds, and he said, no, sit your ass back down. You know, Tom Thibodeau is going to play the guys that he trusts. So we'll start with the Knicks conversation, 877-337-6666, as it's Friday and the Knicks will be back on the floor again. Alert to all Knicks fans and anyone else listening to the Fan, the Celtics lost yesterday. I came in and I didn't watch that game because I was watching the Yankee game, which was on 5 to 8:30, and then the Rangers game started. I was watching that, and then I look up at the score. I'm like, what the hell happened to the Celtics? The big, bad, almighty Celtics, who were already crowned as the Eastern Conference Finals champions, right? They're already a guarantee to make the NBA Finals. No way could the Knicks challenge them. And they hate us because they ain't us again. You heard Charles and Shaq talking about, oh, I can't wait till they get stomped out by the Celtics. How do you know that's going down? How do you know that's what's going to happen? So let's see how the Knicks respond to this adversity. They've been responding to adversity the whole season. It's been next man up Knicks the whole season. Let's see what they do out in Indiana. Let's go to Brick and talk to Luke on the Fan. Thanks for holding. You got it.
Hey, Keith, man, what's up?
You know, got to host a show and, you know, spread the love. We did plenty Rangers. We'll get back to the Knicks. And anybody that wants to talk about the Mets series coming up with the Braves, we can do that. Yankees, too.
All right, listen, I love the Knicks and all, bringing the culture back. But they got to learn how to inbound the ball.
Facts.
They got to learn how to do that, man.
That's rec league stuff. But, you know, they have challenges with it. In the last game, they had a good lead, and they end up smoking the lead. And there was that one point where Josh Hart couldn't inbound the ball, and he stepped in. I'm like, what are you doing? You know what the problem is, right? There's only one guy they want to inbound the ball to, and he's getting double teamed.
Listen, if they're going to play the Celtics, they got to learn how to inbound the ball. That's one thing they got to know.
They
got
to learn how to inbound the ball against the Pacers, any NBA team.
Yeah. That's true.
But you know what it is? Like I just said, they want to get the ball in Brunson's hands, so they double him. Hart's inbounding the ball, or I think, I don't know, man. It's a good point, though. They got to clean that up. That's got to be better. You can't have turnovers on that. You can't. No, you got it. That's simple, elementary, bitty basketball, rec league, kids basketball stuff, inbounding the ball.
Okay. All right, Keith. Thank you so much for the time, man.
Thanks for the call. 877-337-6666. Butch and Baldwin, New York on the Fan. What's up, Butch?
Keith, what's up, buddy? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Listen, I got a little statement to make, and I want to know how you feel about this. Talking about OG, if OG a hamstring, you never know what could happen to a hamstring. Hamstring could be day-to-day. Yeah, some people don't come back for that for years. As far as Brunson's foot, obviously the Knicks aren't going to tell us too much right now, but I want to know if he's compromised that much. Without OG Anunoby, we have one without him. And I'm sick of hearing the Celtics talk because we beat the Celtics on their own court twice this year, I believe. We can beat them at full strength. But now there's no OG. We've got no Mitchell Robinson. Some of these guys coming off the bench haven't played in a while. And I wonder, is there a thought that if Brunson's foot isn't that good, do you maybe sit him tomorrow night? He's questionable. Without OG, do you maybe sit him tomorrow night and maybe concede, if that's what you call it, to be healthy for game four and going forward? Now, with that being said, I want to know what you think. Do you think Tom Thibodeau plays these guys too much?
No.
I believe our core is amazing. Our core, that's what we are. We have these guys. I mean, DiVincenzo stepped up the other night. He's been a little quiet lately. He stepped up when he needed to last night. That third quarter was unbelievable that he started coming out. I believe he hit two threes, and then he had 8 points to start the third quarter off, and all of a sudden we're alive again after getting killed in the second quarter. What do you do if you're the Knicks right now? Without full strength,
I'll tell you
we're
what
not beating many people.
I'll tell you what I think. Thanks for the call, Butch. I'll tell you what I think, but what do I know? I'm not a coach. I'm a radio host. I'm a fan like you guys. I don't think Brunson is going to not play. I don't think they're going to concede a loss. I don't think Brunson – I think he's too much of a competitor, too much of a leader, too important to the team with too much of a chip on his shoulder. If he can go, he's going to go. So even being questionable, I think he's going to play. You'll see what the game – tells you, you'll see what the score tells you. Maybe he'll end up, you know, coming out of the game, whatever. If he feels like he's pushing it too hard, maybe he'll come out of the game, whatever. But I don't see a situation where if he's healthy to go, he's sitting down in favor of rest. And I still don't really know exactly what is going on. He just had a sore foot. We're assuming that they shot him up to numb the pain and he played through it. Had yesterday to rehab, whatever, ice, do whatever. I don't know. Let's go to OG, though. Butch said that hamstrings could last a year. Years? Nah, they're not supposed to last a year. But a hamstring strain like he suffered with ice, with heating pads, with cold tubs, with hot tubs, with stem, I think it's a two-week thing. I think OG could miss the rest of the series. But I think they could still survive the series because they're already up two games. They got to win two games out of the next five. You're going to rely on Precious Achiuwa, the big sneeze from the big X, from the BX. That guy's got to be a big X factor for you. He's got to start, and he's got to play well, and he's got to score. He's got to play defense. I think that's what they're going to do. And I mentioned Jericho Sims. Jericho Sims got to be the backup center. Maybe he gets off the bench and next man up. It just sucks because they can't afford to lose anyone else. It just sucks because they don't have Julius Randle. They don't have Bojan Bogdanovic. And when people want to bring up the coach playing them too much, oh, is this a sign of fatigue? Is this because? Nah. I mean, OG missed a bunch of time with the elbow injury. He's not tired. It's just what happened. It's just the way he extended his leg and came down, whatever. And even with Brunson, these guys are conditioned. You need big performances out of the guys that are healthy. Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Isaiah Hartenstein. But I don't think that up 2-0 going to Indiana, the way that the Knicks have beat the Pacers, I don't think they're shook of them at all. I think the Pacers are the ones that are shook. I think the Pacers are the ones questioning whether they can come back and win the series. I think the Pacers are the ones looking at the refs too much. I think the Pacers are the ones, as a team, looking at their coach and Rick Carlisle saying, no, 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 we don't feel like Rick feels. We didn't play good enough. So if you get into a game on their court where it's close and they're not blowing the Knicks out without OG Anunoby, right now, I don't know. We'll see what Pascal Siakam does. We'll see what some of these guys do without the defense of OG Anunoby. And then also, obviously, you got OG's best scoring performance. The game will tell you what's going to happen. The game will dictate the moves that the Knicks are going to make. Mo is in Queens. Mo, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
All right, good. It's been a while. I have an interesting Jalen Brunson point, but before I get to that, I just want to say my favorite moment from the game last night was when the Garden collectively just cursed out Reggie Miller and the whole TNT broadcast.
And then Josh Hart had to make sure that he knew what was going on, and Josh Hart is not thinking that he's got a microphone attached to his headset that the whole world can hear, but that was classic.
That was amazing. Josh Hart feels like he's been on the Knicks for years at this point, just the way he plays.
He's just one of the perfect Knicks. He just fits. He just looks like he was born to be a New York Knick.
Right. So to my Jalen Brunson point, you know, continue the theme of like younger fans. Like, I obviously wasn't around for the 90s and definitely not the 70s, but I was just thinking, like, how would Brunson compare to, you know, the Knick greats, you know, Clyde, you know, Melo, Ewing and stuff. And I think he's surpassed Melo at this point, Keith. What do you think?
Yeah, I did see something today that he's already got more points in the playoffs than Carmelo.
And more wins. More wins as well, more playoff wins.
Yeah, 591 to 589. And, I mean, it's just Brunson is a different type of player for the Knicks altogether. He's the point guard that you've been starving for. He came in and nobody knew he would become this. He didn't cost you that much. And I don't know, man. It's been better than expected.
Right. I mean, especially with Brunson, like, he plays well. You know, he's obviously great. He scores 40 points a game sometimes. But he'll do it efficiently and he'll make his teammates better. And no shit on Melo, but even, like, Melo is one of my favorite players back in the day. But Melo is not that efficient and his team's, you know, they wouldn't get as good and as shown by his, you know, his in the playoffs. You know, what do we do? We got to game six against the Pacers and getting blocked by Roy Hibbert. Like, that was it.
Yeah. And you know, it also comes along with Brunson. Brunson came first, and then they made the move to get his Villanova teammates in Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo, and then the chemistry that they have, the experience that they have, still playing, and I think it's spread through the team.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be a fun ride. If the Knicks can stay healthy, you got to think they're getting to the conference finals, and then who knows from there. But
right, who knows? Yeah. Nobody knows. Don't let anybody tell you what they can or can't do or what's going to happen, because if anybody knew, then there'd be no reason to play out the rest of the series and the rest of the games. I'll say this to you as well, Mo, before you go. The Celtics lost the game in the series before the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I throw in one more thing, Keith?
Yeah.
Awesome. I was having a different discussion. Julius Randle, right? How if he comes back, their ceiling is much higher, I'm assuming, but there are some Knicks fans that think that think this team can't achieve what they're doing now, you know, their selflessness and the way they play and Brunson, the way Brunson's playing at elite level with Randle. But I think they really need Randle. I mean, obviously with OG's injury, they need anybody, right? They need bodies, but they, you know, in order to get there, I think the team is much better off with him. And I'll leave you with that.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Mo. I was saying last night, I'm like, Julius, you sure you're not able to go? You sure you don't want to try and come back? They need bodies. They need another scorer. They need another guy. But, yeah, no, that's going to be a tough conversation to have. Some decisions will be made, but Julius is coming back. I just think he's too much a part of the fabric of the team. I think they want him back. He's 25-10. Anybody would want that back. And it's a conversation for the offseason. I know everybody's talking already about, like, Devin Booker or a superstar joining it. Like, I don't know. A superstar is on the team. You have a superstar in Jalen Brunson. Pinstripe Pete, my guy from New Haven on the Fan. What's up, Pete?
Keith, what's going on, man? Long time, no talk. How you been?
Good, man. I actually, with the Astros series, posted the videos from 2021 Astros series with the 10% capacity, and you popped up in that video. I was like,
yep.
Thinking about how crazy it was. Like, we started the F. Altuve chant. We had no idea what it would become. We had no idea chanting F. Altuve for the first time when he came out on the field to warm up. 3 years later, they're still chanting F. Altuve.
I saw that video, and that's me and my friend that was at the game, my friend Figsy, we're actually making our first trip back Monday, May 20th. We'll be out in 203, so hopefully if you're out there, we'll hook up.
I'll probably be around, yeah.
Yeah, but I got a couple things with the Knicks. I mean, I'm not a big NBA fan. I'm lucky to be a big supporter of the UConn Huskies basketball team and pretty blessed to have back-to-back national championships recently. But watching this team and watching not only them and the Rangers these nights at the Garden, it's pretty awesome watching what they're doing. And I think the biggest thing that they have going for them, it's kind of like that spring of 94, 30 years later, is the Garden is such a big proponent to their game. Like, when they get going and they get that crowd behind them, I think that they have the biggest advantage in out of all the teams still left in the playoffs. I mean, they can't be beat once they get going and they're playing that selfless basketball that they play.
Yeah, there's no better home court, home ice advantage than the Garden. The players know it. The media knows it. The national media know it. All the players, like, all these videos now, especially because we have social media, everybody is seeing the way the Garden turns up for the Rangers with the fans waving the towels and the Rangers goal song. Everybody is seeing outside of Madison Square Garden with just this mob and sea of blue and orange fans jumping around, going viral. It's just it's a different kind of place.
That's it. And they have that desire to win. I think they have the most they're the best chemistry amongst all the teams that are resting the playoffs too. I mean, you can't deny that Jalen Brunson's still the best player left in the playoffs other than Anthony Edwards. But I got one more thing with the Yanks. I'm just curious what your thoughts are. I know Gerrit Cole's coming back. What do you think they're going to do? Are they going to stick with a six-man rotation? Or my thought would be that they'd move Clark Schmidt and Luis Heel, it's kind of like a starter and one of them coming out of the bullpen after them sort of role.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that they have to save Luis Heel and his arm coming back from Tommy John. he can't throw that many innings. So I think that's factor number one, health, and him being young and him being electric right now. His future, I think they're going to consider that as factor number one. When they look at everything, they're going to say, this guy is young. This guy's coming back from Tommy John. We got to keep his in. But, like, he's one of the better. Like, he strikes guys out. His ERA is low. The batting average against him is low. Like, we're starting to get to the point where we're most excited to see him on the mound. Like, I had a decision to make this week. You're going to the game Tuesday or Wednesday. I looked at who was pitching. I'm like, I'd rather go see Luis Gil pitch than Carlos Rodon. But these are good problems to have. I think they're going to show Clark respect in his second full year and not put him in the bullpen. Rodon is not an option. Marcus Stroman is not an option to go to the bullpen. Nestor has come out of the bullpen, but he's been a starter for so long. It just makes sense for Luis Gil to either go to the bullpen or them to do a six-man rotation for a while until we, I don't know. I don't know exactly what they're going to do, man. They have a couple options.
Yeah, and like you said, that's a good thing to have, and that's the thing that they've been wanting for all these past years is pitching. We need pitching, and it's right now, hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, nothing really happens from this point going forward with Juan Soto, and the team's just playing so well now, and I can't wait to get out there and see him again. Anyways, Keith, I appreciate the time, man. I look forward to seeing you out there with the Bleacher Creatures.
Yes, sir. Pinstripe Pete, my guy, appreciate you. I'll see you out there May 20th. I'll put a note in my calendar to pop out. So, I mean, I go to 203 every game regardless for the most part. 877-337-6666. Yeah, I think they might go six-man rotation when Cole comes back, especially, like I said, I'm not scared, but looking at June and the teams that the Yankees are going to face, maybe it makes sense to go six-man rotation. They'll have three off days on Mondays, but they have a stretch from the 4th to the 16th with no off days. And maybe they go a six-man rotation there to give guys an extra day of rest. But also, like I said, I think the first thing that they're going to consider is Luis Gil's coming off Tommy John surgery. He's young. We got to save this guy's arm. I don't know if they'll put him in the bullpen. I just never seen him come out of the bullpen. Maybe they'll try it. But then maybe we kill two birds with one stone. As I said, we need a power pitcher coming out of the bullpen. Can't you see Luis Gil coming out of the bullpen to face three batters, striking out the side, touching 98 on the gun? I can. Let's go to Aaron in the Five Towns on the Fan. You got it, Aaron.
Keith, what's going on, brother?
You know, bringing it home. Got another half hour or so, another good night. Rangers win, and we're kind of just living in it, talking the talk.
Music to my ears. Listen, I think, first of all, I think Igor might have some sick, twisted love for being doubted, because that's when he comes back and just shows everybody why he's...
Oh. Most competitors do. I'm a competitor. I have a sick, twisted love. I have a long list of people that doubted me that I don't acknowledge them, but I'm proving them wrong every day. Igor definitely is standing on business proving people wrong. He's doing his thing, man. I not even jokingly, but I floated the idea to Johnny Lazarus of like, hey, Jonathan Quick is there. They're up 3-0. Is there? And Johnny shut it down. He said, no, you don't take Igor out of the net.
There's nobody I'd rather have between the pipes taking me to the Cup Final than Igor Shesterkin, hands down. And quite honestly, I'm just shocked. I'm shocked that the Rangers are 7-0 to start the playoffs. Has any team ever swept the first two rounds? I'm assuming it happened at some point in history. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this is special, man. And you can't be taking this many penalties against other teams, but. Then again, Carolina has a ridiculous power play, and they haven't scored a single power play goal. So, I got a lot of trust in this team. It's really special.
It's a good run. Thanks for the call, Aaron. Yeah, I mean, what else can you ask for? I know these games have been nail-biters. It's a lot of anxiety. It's two completely different games. Like, the double overtime game felt like it was 5 hours. And then tonight, when they go to overtime, you're kind of getting ready for that again, and it's like... done. I just Googled. I'm like, has any team ever swept the first two rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs? Of course, it comes up with Reddit. And someone, has there ever been a team that swept every round? I'm sure there has, right? I'll look up some things. We got a break, though. 877-337-6666. We're talking about the Knicks as the Knicks get ready to try and go up 3-0 in Indiana going on the road without OG Anunoby in Game 3. Jalen Brunson obviously banged up in Game 2 but was heroic and came back to help the Knicks get the win. I think they have an advantage, man. Obviously, tonight the Rangers go up 3-0 and the Carolina Hurricanes are just demoralized. Their fans are out of it. Talk about, you know, what can you ask for? What more can you ask for with the Rangers winning every game? I mean, the Carolina Hurricanes have seen a lot of losing with their team in the last year or two. So we're talking Rangers, we're talking Knicks. Of course, we can still talk about the Yankees, everything from Gerrit Cole coming back, Gleyber Torres, his struggles in a walk year, Judge looking like Judge again. And the Mets get ready to host the Braves. Keith McPherson on the Fan, only going to 1 a.m. Call me up. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Larry Johnson and Mourning are swinging on the baseline, and Mourning right now is being held by Jeff Van Gundy. Van Gundy holding on to his foot, and this is amazing.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Here, he's ready to go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's take these calls and talk about it. So I was just looking at the NBA scores, and in the Western Conference, the Dallas Mavericks have defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder 119-110. Now, that series is knotted up at 1-1. And obviously, you heard, or maybe you didn't hear, but you should know by now that earlier tonight, or last night, rather, yesterday, the Cleveland Cavaliers smoked the Celtics. Like, I was live on air when I realized that. And when I looked at that box score, I was like, ew, they only scored 40 points in the second half? Obviously, I didn't watch the game because I was watching the Yankees and the Rangers. So there might be a chance. I always go home and watch the highlights, but there might be a chance that the Boston Celtics just realize, oh, man, we got nothing for them. And, you know, they kind of called the dogs off. Let me look at the box score and see the minutes. Yeah, they emptied their bench. But, like, what, my whole message was, I listen to The Fan and I read online and even watching TNT last night, they're talking like it's a foregone conclusion that the Boston Celtics are definitely sweeping the Cavs. Well, that's not happening anymore. That series is at least going five. It's a foregone conclusion that the Boston Celtics are winning the East. Right? Like, everybody pump your brakes. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And I said last night, I don't wish injury on anyone ever. I mean, I played sports. I know what it's like to get hurt. I know what it's like to be hurt versus injured. I don't celebrate injuries, but it's a part of the game, especially in the NBA when we're playing basketball in May. These guys have been hooping since October. They are one play away from losing a starter. Everyone is. Look at the Knicks. The Knicks are one play away. Up, OG Anunoby in the first round. Bojan Bogdanovic. Shout out to my boy Dre. He just hit me. He's like, you know who needs to step up? Deuce McBride. Yeah. Yeah, he's got to shoot, man. He's got to have one of those nights where he's just knocking down everything he shoots. Precious Achiuwa, step up. Jalen Brunson, if he's compromised, it's going to get real interesting later on tonight in Indiana. 877-337-6666. So again, right, you have two series that are 2-0, and they'll be on the floor tonight. The third game of the Knicks-Pacers series, the Knicks lead the series 2-0. And then the Nuggets and Timberwolves, which, like, the Nuggets-Timberwolves series, the Timberwolves are up 2-0. And they're about to play their first home game in Game 3 against Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. Jake is in Brooklyn. Jake, you're on the Fan.
So I just want to do one quick Yankee thing, and then I want to talk about Jokic winning the MVP.
Okay.
First, maybe I think with the lineup, you said that you don't think it's a good idea for Volpe to lead off in the lineup. So I was thinking.
Well, wait. We got to update that, right? I didn't think it was a good idea the fourth series of the season, but there's no going back now. He is our leadoff hitter now. He's made the adjustment, and he's starting to hit again. So, but I'll listen to what you have to say. But we always got to update our takes. At the time, I thought it was premature, but it is what it is now. I'm fine with it now. But what do you suggest?
Maybe you could keep Stanton at four, put Volpe 5, and then move Verdugo up to leadoff.
That's what I wanted to do first. I was like, okay, Gleyber. I never thought Gleyber should have been a leadoff hitter. And when he struggled, I said, why wouldn't you move Verdugo there? Because we've seen him do that in Boston, and he's got experience doing it. They moved him, and I like the move, putting him between Judge and Stanton. But since they didn't do that, and they prematurely jumped to Volpe, they just put the task on Volpe to, hey, kid, go from batting 6 to 1st. It might take you a month to adjust, but I think he's adjusted now.
Yeah, right. He had a good game tonight. One more thing. I think maybe the only reason Jokic won the MVP is because for, like, a media thing.
It was a makeup from last year.
Yeah. But
I mean, he deserves it. He's the best player. He's been the best player in the league for the last few years.
He is, but I think maybe they give it to someone else. You can't give a guy 3 MVPs in, like, 5 years.
That was the argument last year. This guy hasn't gone to the finals. You can't give them. Why can't you? If he's the best player, you can give one to Embiid, the foul merchant, the fraud who's always banged up, always a second-round exit, not this year.
All right. Maybe you should give it to, like, Shea or JB. I don't know.
Small market. He's young. I didn't think SGA really was going to have an opportunity to win it over Jokic, who is a reigning champion. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Jake. Also, man, how many times has Volpe been the last out for the Yankees? I hate that my boy always ends up in that spot. The Yankees are down to their final out. Stepping into the box, Anthony Volpe. And you know Volpe's swinging at everything. He's trying to win the game. He's a Yankee fan like you and I. He wants to win the game, and he's had some moments in his rookie year. He wanted to do it yesterday. I mean, that short porch hit was great. That's just, hey, go with the pitch. Take the pitch the way that it'll just hit it the other way. Go Oppo. He's coming into it as the leadoff hitter. I hope it continues. I'm fine with him being a leadoff hitter. When DJ comes back, I don't think they're going to put him leadoff. They're not going to move Verdugo leadoff. It is what it is. The move should be to sit Gleyber Torres' ass down. Like, Gleyber Torres does not have to play every day, especially when DJ comes back. There's no reason for it. There's going to be a rotation, platoon, whatever, and play the hot hand. 877-337-6666. Jokic was going to be the MVP. But Brunson, I think, could have finished higher. And when we're talking about MVP, most valuable player, there isn't a player more valuable to their team in the NBA than Jalen Brunson. And, you know, that's why all these goofies on Twitter tried to helicopter in on my analogy. All I was saying with the analogy earlier, Jalen Brunson is to the Knicks what Aaron Rodgers was to the Jets, was if you remove that one player, all bets are off. Obviously, Jalen Brunson means way more to the Knicks and the city of New York and the fans because of the impact he's had over the last couple years. But, like, when we're talking about an offense, when we're talking about one man, and we look at the last couple years, you can make a parallel between Jalen Brunson, Aaron Rodgers in 2023, and Aaron Judge in 2023. And my tweet was coming out, like I said, I listen to the fan like you guys do. And I listen to BT and Sal do a whole show on, we saw what the Knicks look like without Jalen Brunson. And I'm like, you didn't have to see what the Knicks look like without Jalen Brunson to know what the Knicks would look like without Jalen Brunson. There is no, that's the one guy they can't afford to lose. They lost Julius Randle, they're winning games. They lost Bojan Bogdanovic, no big deal. They lost OG, let's see what they look like tonight. If Jalen Brunson is not 100%, if he's compromised, then there's no shot that they're winning the series and there's no shot that they're advancing. But let's see what he looks like. The game will dictate their moves to us. Jose and Elizabeth on the fan. You got it.
Keith, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you. I got 2 points to make tonight. So what do you think about Tom Thibodeau making the Knicks look like his Bulls team? Derrick Rose,
I just think people got to stop talking about that. Like, all right, there's a couple things. That was so long ago. That was 10 years ago. And it doesn't matter. The reason that the Knicks are able to gut it out and win these games late and play 40 minutes, 48 minutes, is because they're conditioned and they don't have a deep bench. And Tom Thibodeau is going to play the guys that he trusts, and they've been doing this all season. It's fine. Don't you want these guys to play? That's who you want to play. You're not trying to see Daquan Jeffries or Shake Milton. Like, you want your players to play. They are conditioned for it. They are prepared for it. This is how they played all season. This is how they win games.
Okay. And also, if the Warriors cut Chris Paul, should the Knicks look to pick him up as a backup for Brunson?
Nah, I'm going to keep it rolling. Thanks for the call, Jose. No. No. Chris Paul, respect to his career, but he's done. He's cooked. Absolutely not. No. No, I don't think so. Why are we going there? Dwight is in Asbury Park. 732.
Yeah, I heard that guy said talk about Chris Paul. Man, Chris Paul, man, he's finished.
Yeah, he's done.
He ain't going to be doing nothing for you.
There's no reason to bring him over here. The Knicks are trying to win a championship in the next couple of years.
I was going to ask you, now that OG is down, I was thinking about a possible sweep before he got injured. I think they'll go take the Pacers in six. What do you think?
From the jump, I said Knicks in seven. I think it's going to be a seven-game series definitely now. I think that they probably lose this first game without OG because just his defense and it's just going to be different. You're going to be dependent on Precious Achiuwa. He's a completely different player. And the Pacers, if they have any heart, if they have any hope, they better get this first game on their floor after crying to the officials. And I expect the officials to go to that small market and call the game for Rick Carlisle a little better. But, yeah, I think it's still Knicks in six. But, really, I said from the jump, I think it's going to be seven.
Because I was thinking about before OG went down, I was thinking about a possible sweep. Did you think that was going to happen?
I mean, I the way that they won the first two games, maybe, but it's different when you go to Indiana. The thing I was saying before, and thanks for the call, Dwight. The thing I was saying before, they were just getting on the bus and going to Philadelphia. The Villanova 3 played college ball in Philadelphia. There's a comfort level there. There's a familiarity there. There's nostalgia there. They don't have that in Indiana. Nobody wants to go to Indiana. I told my stories about the one time I went to Indiana and I'm driving from Chicago to Indiana to go gamble at the casino. I'm like, ew, the hell? Nobody's going to Indiana, bro. And nobody enjoys going to Indiana. Also, what I also was saying was like the Pacers beat the Bucks. Giannis didn't play a game. Dame missed a game. The Pacers didn't really the Pacers defeated Bobby Portis and Chris Middleton. And Brooke Lopez, who's washed, and Pat Connaughton and Pat Beverly. It's a way different game facing the Knicks, even with five, six guys. So, could they have swept? Sweep is still on the table. This is going to be a very interesting game. Like I said, the Pacers are getting seven. After all that boo-hooing and crying and 78 calls that they reported to the league, all right, small market, okay. You know their fans are going to come out and support them. But I just look at the Knicks. Like, the Knicks had the harder first round against Philly, against the reigning MVP. And the Pacers didn't have to face a former MVP. They didn't have to face... They faced Dame. Dame gave them one really good game, and that was it. And now they're facing a team that's tougher than them, better conditioned than them, down the stretch makes the right plays better than them. And I guess gets the benefit of the whistle, but I think that's just some crybaby stuff. I think that's weak as hell. I think Rick Carlisle, I don't know if that was an angle, trying to, you know, he got himself ejected and then he immediately cried about, oh, small market teams deserve a chance too. Yeah, like I just gave you guys the update on the small market teams, right? Like Oklahoma City, I guess Oklahoma City tonight, they're crying about the Dallas Mavericks coming into their building and beating them. Small market teams deserve a chance, too. What do you think the Cleveland Cavaliers are saying up there in TD Garden after they smoked the Celtics? Did the refs help them because of what happened in the actual Garden two nights ago? It's just corny, man. It's corny for a coach to come out there and say that, but then his players come out and say, nah, we got to play better. Because that game didn't come down to a couple calls. There were some games in the Sixers series came down to a couple calls. Game two, game five. The Knicks outplayed them. Out of the halftime, they doubled them up. 36 points to 18 points in the third quarter. That's got nothing to do with the officiating. And the refs are trash across the board. Standard. They're bad. They're not good. But whatever. We'll see tonight. 7 o'clock. And remember I said this. The game will tell you. If the Pacers are just smoking the Knicks, blowing them out, and Brunson is compromised and he can't score to keep the pace with them and they can't defend without OG and it just looks like a complete different game, then we got a whole series here, folks. And if that's the case, I think someone's got to tap Tom Thibodeau and be like, hey, it's not worth it. It's a 7-game series. Like, we can lose a game. We could lose 2 games, go back to New York. And I really think OG's going to need a week. I think OG's going to need a straight-up week. 877-337-6666. So the Knicks are looking to go up 3-0. The Rangers are up 3-0, and they're healthy. They got Philip Hedel back. And I mean, things are looking good for the Rangers. And I just love that they're locked, and they've been locked. I said earlier, I think they had like a 10-game win streak or something like that this year. And after the win streak, they're being interviewed, and I forget who it was. It might have been Chris Kreider again. And they're talking to him, and they say something like, yeah, this is all cool and all, but like they know what the goal is. They know what the focus is. They want the cup. Let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Morris on the Fan. Hello, Morris. Your Houston Astros got a win. I'm joking, Morris. I know you're a Yankee fan, but you're like, I know you feared the Houston Astros. They didn't get swept. They got a win. Morris, you there? Morris, you fell asleep on me. Put this guy on hold. Listen, man. You guys call a fan. You wait all this time. You fall asleep on the phone. That's an L. Kevin is in the Bronx on the Fan. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's up, Keith? Love the show. The reason I started listening to the Fan. But I wanted to ask you, what do you think a realistic trade is for Gleyber Torres? Like, what kind of package would you put together if you're Cashman? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I got you. I've been struggling with this, man. Because, like, I'm so over the Gleyber Torres stuff, and you guys have heard me talk about this, man. I was literally on the Fan the night that they made the trade for IKF and Donaldson, and I was panicking because I was like, I guess IKF, but I didn't want Donaldson. And I'm like, maybe they could package Gleyber Torres, send him somewhere that I don't know what's going on. Why are we picking up Josh Donaldson? I've been literally trying to trade Gleyber Torres since after the 2020 season. 2020-21 season. And I go back to them telling you that this kid could play shortstop. I bought the first, I think, 11 or 12 games in the 2021 season I bought out from the Yankees. It was like $800. I was a dummy for doing it, but I was just, the year before we weren't allowed in the stadium, and I thought that 10% tickets were not going to be available. So I bought out the tickets. I sat in 103 with Joe's McFly. My boy Joe's, he bought the same package as me. We went to every single game, and we're watching and we're like, yo, Gleyber Torres is not a shortstop, bro. He mentally doesn't have it and he doesn't have the skill set to do it. They move him back to second base. He has one position he can play and he doesn't even play that solid enough. And then he has mental lapses on the base pass. He's not hitting. So, like, what's he worth? Like, I can't tell you what you can get for Gleyber Torres. Nothing. A prospect? A kid? You're going to have to package him with something. But the Yankees are going to keep playing him to try and raise his stock. And I'm over it. I'm legit tired of watching Gleyber Torres play baseball. That's all I've got, man. It's been a great night, a great week. I'll be back on after the Yankees post game. Hopefully they defeat the Rays. And coming up next, C-Max gotcha. Don't go anywhere. He's coming up. Call him. See ya. Sports Radio 101.